Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth Show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for being here with me today and joining me on the new moon in Taurus, May 16th, 2026, transmission. And I want to just wish you all a most merry beginning of summer. We are in the midst of so many shifts and changes, and summer feels like it's here soon upon us. And so, in the seasons of our life, we look at the reflections, and even in the historical accounts, chronologically, in our own soul's recognition, we see the seasons, how we have our entry into summer and coming out of the spring and the renewal. And in the reflecting period of all that, going into, of course, sequentially the fall, the winter, and spring, and back to summer again. So, in this particular highlight, especially right now, astrologically, under God's kingdom, all the planets that are created, and all the celestial bodies, there are often themes that we encounter that are applicable. And even if you're not a Taurus, it still relates in the Venusian sense because Taurus is ruled by Venus. And so when I speak of Venusian application and the construct of Venusian, it's the centerpiece of life in itself, just like every other creation of God. Yet there's a celebration of beauty. And I'm not limiting it to just aesthetics and the beauty of the aestheticism, but also in the deeper core of beauty, the beauty in life. When we see the sacred geometry of God's creation, when we look at the flowers, when we look at all the diversity of the beyond countless species of animals and insects and down to the smallest creature to the most gargantuan of creature. We see the beauty in the sky, we see the beauty in the sunsets, the stars, and beyond. And everything shifts through different times of our life, and everything shifts through different seasons of our life, and also shifting through the various signs and the planetary constructs. And so, right now, I felt that it would be very helpful to discuss a lot of the key elements of the new Taurus moon. And we're also having a super moon. So, those moon gazers out there, be prepared for, looking at such a beautiful, nice photography, also, too, opportunities. But this is a time to look at the inner beauty of your life and the inner realms. From the Venusian place. And when we speak of it again, also in the nervous system, that there's a calmness and the emotional reciprocity in the beauty of the calm. There's a beauty in strength, there's a beauty in virtue, there's a beauty in empowerment. There's also a beauty, of course, in the integral life, the inner life of all of us. And so, of course, there's the external beautification that we see in the aesthetic reality, in the third dimensional realm, in the material realm, and also in the heavenly realm, that we see the beauty. And that's the opposite of decay, the opposite of the corrosiveness of the world, the opposite of the lower frequencies, the enemy, the dark path, where everything is the illusion, perhaps, of beauty in an instant, yet behind it's the facade, and the reality is the corrosiveness, the decay, and all the fragments that are essentially the breaking down. So when we feel and we think about the beauty of life, the beauty of God's creation, the beauty of ourselves, and in the nature in which we are created in the image of God, and we see the constructs that reflect outward, that externalize outward, and we go about the world to make it a more beautiful place. We try to bring beauty to our fellow neighbors, our fellow friends, colleagues, family, and also our beloved animal kingdom. But especially at this time, while we have the new moon, the Taurus new moon, it's essentially like a flash of lightning under if we see the flash in an instant, right? We see how fleeting everything is, just like the seasons. But we also can embrace in the lunar energies where there's this steadfast of we can have instantaneous reflection, but we can also have long-term sustainability in the future forward reflection, where it's not like the flash of lightning, but it's in that moment where you've planted the seeds, you've fostered them, you've nurtured them, you've grown, and then suddenly it seems as if overnight, in a flash of an instant, that wow, your miracle or your your flowers metaphorically have sprouted, your harvest has sprouted, right? So it's truly a garden moon. It's essentially in the cathedral mind application of thinking expansively. So if you plant the carrot now or the orchard now, it'll feed you from years on, from this present moon, from this present time. And so, if you look at the old farmers' almanacs down to the ancient Egyptians, everything was about looking upon the lunar application, the seasons, of course. But in the deeper sense, we go into our soul's embodiment, and we go through core themes that seem to repeat themselves over time and space. But there's repetition with wisdom in nature, repetition, wisdom with the soul. And so, right now, the essential themes are, of course, self-love, money, financial, emotional awareness, and empowerment and strength, and also that state of independence. So, and I'll get deeper into all those. But if you look upon in the deeper realm of stability, self-worth, and how it also applies with financial abundance and empowerment, security, how does the inner security life look for you? What is your relationship with security? Security might be defined as a state of protection in which you're stabilized from any threat, external threat, internal threat. But what about when we go deeper into the inner realm of security? Most of us may have security in our faith in God. That is our hedge of protection, our unwavering security with the comforter of Jesus, or the blue mantle of Our Lady, or if it's, protection that you believe the universe is always protecting you, having your back, however it may interpret for yourself. But security is a very fundamental aspect also in Taurus and in the Venusian, which Venus rules Taurus. So we're in right now a very strong hallmark in the attributes of security, in the feeling of, okay, what is it that makes me feel safe in the world? And we can look at our nervous system regulation, we can look at our fear-based mindset, in which we all encounter. Some of us are a bit more hypersensitive than others. Some of us, we have a threshold, or some of us are desensitized, and some of us have bigger fears of certain things that other people might not have fear of, and vice versa. But when I speak of security, I go deeper into where's your emotional security? Where's your spiritual security? Is there a possibility of it where it could just vanish and disappear in a flash of an eye, in blink of an eye? Or is it sustainable? Is it long term? And so that is the construct typically that in the access point of looking at how can we create more security in our lives. So you look at your weak points, you look at your middle points, your neutral points, and then you look at your goals and you look at what feels most accurate for yourself. And your goals might be different than your neighbor or your best friend or your family, your spouse. It might be very different. But if you look at animals, right? Animals and the simplicity of nature. Security is having shelter, having access to clean water and food, healthy food source, whether they're hunting or whether it's provided to them, but having safety and security. But then the secondary would be in the application of love and the compassion. And so when we see ourselves, we also require, of course, the security of shelter, fresh water, sustenance, food, but we also need love and we also need compassion and we also need self-love and self-compassion. So when we're looking at the security, perhaps, of the nervous system, the restoration of our nervous system, the regulation of our nervous system, in this world, we are encountering high stimuli left and right, and there's a propensity that's ever increasing with the news. We could go on and on about that, what's true, what's untrue, and that's an old story right now, but there's an influx, and sometimes we feel like we're essentially in a matrix, and we might feel like, wow, like there's just too much overload. And has it always been that way? But perhaps things were being withheld, or now are there, the planted negative, planted positive stories? What is real? What's unreal, right? A conspiracy realist, essentially. And so, as we all know, the term conspiracy theorist was coined to literally create an obstruction from those that are seeking the truth and thereby deemed as, crazy, hyper illusionists, and so on, and in their delusion. And but in the truth of conspiracy realism, every day we're being confronted with what's true, what's untrue, and we thereby go down the rabbit hole in which, which poison shall we drink? Which pill shall we take? The red, the blue, the black, the white, which one, right? So when we are faced with so much, and then we also have the potential cataclysmics of the world and our, our pole shifts coming up and the grand solar minimum, and do we have 10 years left? Is it happening sooner than later? 2034, 2046, what truly is happening? So we're feeling sensations, we're feeling vibrations, and then also what's natural and also what's manufactured. So security has a great deal of, can we trust? Can we trust, the medicines? Can we trust pharmakia? Can we trust, what can we trust? Can we trust the financial system? Can we trust, in the political scale? Can we trust anything? But we can trust in God. We can trust and maintain our faith in God, our creator, Buddha, whatever works for you, whatever your faith is. But having that faith is the own inner testimony, and that creates the inner sanctum of the beauty, the truth in the beauty that's right now being even more exalted for all of us. The beauty of faith, the beauty of sanctuary, the beauty of that inner shelter, regardless of the external world and the chaos. And even when things might feel calm, it's always the anticipatory in the impending, what's going to come next. So when we have a steadfast connection to our Creator, to God, to our prayerful life, to our meditative life, that creates that inner construct of stability in which the external realm cannot, they might throw in a wrench. It might be intentionally, it might be unintentionally. We're living in a world of randomness. We have free will, but this world is full of randomness. And so counteracting the randomness. And when we're in that place, though, of our faith that's unwavering, in that beautification of that confidence in that manner, we really have the opportunity to redefine what truly matters for us. And when we're in that constant embodiment, and we're consciously aware of our nervous system regulation and the restoration of that, staying as best as we can in the grounding in this particular season of our life and the next seasons of our life. We go into the embodiment of our values, of our internal construct, and also how we externalize into the world and how we treat the world. And sometimes it's not always how people see us and how we see them, but it's how we see ourselves. And how we see ourselves typically generates a momentum that can be highly magnetic. And if we take a moment to pause and talk a little bit about quantum resonance, the sense of being stared at. If you look at I love him, Rupert Sheldrake, fascinating. If you haven't heard of him, definitely read his books or listen to find a podcast with him, interviews. But the sense of being stared at, where you sense the world, and it's not just in the extrasensory, but it's in the magnetic field, in which we are blessed with the keenness, and we are blessed with our third eye, we are blessed with the sixth sense. We are blessed with many senses, but in the sense of feeling, in the sense of that deeper awareness in which that telepathy exists. And so when we go deeper into the broader knowledge and the vastness of that, we're not just what we think we are, that our animals are not just what they presume to be, or our neighbors presume to be, that there's such a depth, a deeper depth that is unseen, that's within all of us. And when we tap into that, there's much more to us, that we're not just in this physical, that we have our astral body, we have our soul star body, we have our expansive field. And so that is what typically helps to co-create in the we are biochemical transmitter receivers. Like, we have a crystalline life force within us. And so that is something that perhaps has been hidden from us, has not been shown to us, but it's there, written in its own metaphor, even in the Bible, in the divinity of the spark of life within us, right? If we go into Eastern, if we go into the Buddhist and the Hindu principles, they're all aligned with the same principle that we are a construct of light within, essentially. It just might be attributed with different language and verbiage. And so when we go into what truly matters and the redefining what truly matters, and we plant the seeds and we allow the seeds to, slowly be observed and to prudently watch over, and in a judicious way, we see what grows and we see what needs more love, what needs more compassion, what needs more of that nurturing. Perhaps one part of your garden needs more sunlight, the other part's getting a lot more sunlight and water, and you might need to focus on another area of your life. And those essentially could be in the weakness, right? Where maybe one has had so much attention being drawn and exclusive to one point, but then maybe the south point of it needs more attention. And so this is part of the safety, it's part of the security, having that balance, that equilibrium. And so we go into healing the relationship with our safety pattern, with our security construct. And, again, we look at money, finances, and health and belonging. So, in the financial life, how we apply abundance, some people are in deep scarcity imprints, and that's very normal. And some people are careless, where they're not really thinking too much about it, they're not aware. Some people are, have a great deal, but they're not really concerned about acquiring, they're concerned about maintaining and keeping it. But separate from the tangible measure of money on Earth, on planet Earth, we look deeper into the root. And so when we think of security, we look at scarcity. And I bring up money because money, of course, is the universal measure of worth and value. But when you go deeper into security, where we feel what else besides money, when we look at self-worth. And sometimes, of course, money can add to self-worth in a false illusion, but it certainly can create in the psychology of money, an easement there where perhaps you might be able to take care of certain things if you have an abundance of money, but you still have things to take care of. So that's why, some people are so poor, all they have is money. Because if you don't have all the balance, then what good is the rest? And then some people who say, well, money isn't everything, and then says the person who has all the money, right? But then ask someone who doesn't have the money that would love to be in that position to even say that money isn't everything, right? So we have all of these contrasting beliefs towards the energy of money, the energy of finances, the energy of abundance. And so, simply placed before us, if we look at the laws of increase, the laws of divinity, the laws of order, the laws of our self-worth, if we believe in ourselves to a true degree of range of possibility, if we believe in ourselves, we have a higher chance at achieving more, right? And there are some people who have a hard time believing in themselves, but they're so talented and their merit is unparalleled and they just need a little bit more self-worth, but they have all the skill set. They have those unique talents, those, God-given skill sets. Perhaps they were born with this ingenious mind or this ability to just follow patterns really well and just know how to build a cathedral by hand. But they might not have a sense of that deeper self-worth where they have the confidence in themselves, but they have the confidence in their craft. So I'm speaking on a broad range of how everyone has a different relationship with security and thereby also money. But this is where self-worth comes in because if you look at your self-worth relationship, are you worthy of receiving God's blessings? Are you worthy of your prayers being answered? Do you feel worthy to give permission to yourself to receive, right? Do you feel worthy that the universe, your angels, Buddha will bless you? Do you feel worthy that perhaps your altruistic karmic endeavors of clearing out karma and balancing the scales? And so oftentimes that is the one big deficit for the common collective. And you might have people that are worth billions of dollars, but their self-worth, in their inner self-worth, they're really, really suffering and struggling. And you might have someone who barely has anything, but their self-worth is unparalleled. And so it's not always money, but if money and finances, it's a cycle. It's like what comes first, nature versus nurture. So can money help? Or if you have self-love, self-worth, can you make more money? Or can you maintain the money? Or can you maintain the healthy relationship with money? Or do you need one versus the other? And so that is the common, I would say, the dichotomy there, in which it's energy. It's truly, at the end of the day, energy and magnetism and the divine laws of increase. Because if you break down the emotional construct and the spiritual construct, and you look at how some things happen for some people and some things don't happen so easily for other people, that might be the most common mystery. So if we look at karmic application, if we look at, well, perhaps that person was, a miser in their past life, and they were an Ebenezer Scrooge, right? They were a the quintessential Donald Duck. I mean, is it the duck that is not Donald Duck, but the the wealthy Donald Duck character. So we have the Ebenezer Scrooge archetype, the miserly archetype that does get reformed at the end when the Ghost of Christmas Past returns to present that these are your past. This is what can become of you if you don't change, right? So let's say, like, a non-reformed Ebenezer Scrooge. Perhaps they had everything. Perhaps they were selfish. Perhaps they were greedy. And they came back in this life and they have difficulty with money, perhaps, right? Or maybe they had so much money, but some bad things happened and they felt guilty and they took a vow of poverty because they said, never again will I go through what I went through before. And they were not bad. They were just maybe murdered for it, taken advantage of. I'm just giving examples that, there are so many possibilities. So if we park the karmic wheel and the realm of variabilities, possibilities, we go back to energy. We go back to self-worth. What is it within yourself at this time, especially under the Taurus new moon, that's in the way? What are the obstacles in the way? Where is there a part of you that's saying, no, I'm in the scarcity imprint. I'm abandoned by money. Money abandons me. Self-worth abandons me. I abandon my self-worth. So you create a the opposite of the laws of increase. You create a law of decrease by, this an unconscious way ruled by the subconscious that believes that you don't deserve it because of X, Y, and Z that happened to you over space and time. And so whether or not you were the most benevolent, generous, charismatic, philanthropic queen, king, prince, or just noble stranger, and you gave to everyone, who knows what really has happened, but essentially it's what is happening in this lifetime right now. And the common denominator is in the locality of the energy field of do you believe that you deserve? And this happens with not just money, happens with health, it happens with abundance in family or in family, friendship, colleague, and success in different ways. So this is a really opportune time to be gentle with yourself and to really let yourself feel where are the places in my life that I really would like to garden, tend more to my garden, garden more of this, perhaps plant more seeds or more trees here. Maybe perhaps I need to plant more flowers. Maybe I need to plant an orchard over there, right? So we also look at our health. And so, health is wealth. Wealth is health. So if we feel a bit unrooted at times, if we feel that we're in the liminal plane of, well, it's okay for me to feel pain. I deserve it. Or maybe you feel like, oh, I don't deserve this pain, but I have it. And so if we look at the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual pain, this is a time to again look at how to redefine in your spiritual life and see and really lift up, look at any forgiveness for the self. Like maybe you've been really mean to yourself. Maybe you haven't been compassionate to yourself. Maybe you have some, untended feelings that you've been burying for so long, and it might be time to safely look at it with a trusted person or a therapist or a spiritual advisor. But you want to look at that because there is a silence before form. So we look at formation, we look at that stillness. And we can hear the still small voice of God within us that speaks to us that says, hey, Jordan, it's time to love yourself a little more. You're giving and giving and giving. You're helping and helping. You're coaching and you're helping all those children. You're helping all those people. But you're not making time for yourself. You need to let yourself rest and heal. That's also abundance in self-love. Where you can have the opposite, where it's like just pouring from the well, giving everything, all the life-giving, life-sustaining and life empowerment to everything and everyone else, that of course it's wonderful. But allowing time, allowing the space for the self to receive. And so that is also in respect to the correlation right now of the theme. And so if we also look at, typically a full moon will say, look upon what has ripened. It's the total lunation of reflection, and in that lumination of look at this abundance, right? But the new moon and the new moon in Taurus asks the simple question of, what do you want to grow? What do you want to grow? How do you want to grow it? Right? And when we're under Taurus, of course, Taurus represents, of course, the comfort, stability, security, money, beauty, luxury, in the highlights of that, right? But when we go deeper, deeper, deeper in the sacred continuity, we go to the deeper realms because, again, Taurus is ruled by Venus, so all the Venusian application. So in the Taurus new moon, it's what is nourishing you? What's nourishing you consistently? What is sustainable? What are you building that has, exponential productivity for yourself in all ways? Nervous system regulation, nervous system restoration, again, part of the Venusian construct. So, what calms your nervous system? What intensifies your nervous system? What activates you, or what brings you to a beautiful realm of like a homeostasis? What calms you? And then you look at what is worth saving, what is worth protecting, what is worth enduring, what is worth staying on and being steadfast about. So we look at the goals. And so when we speak about God gives you what you can handle, right? So when we hear that, God only gives us what we can handle. And of course, we have free will, and God will permit, and whatever the darkness might try to tempt us with, and our guardian angels assist us. But when we're in our capacity of what can we endure? So we really know in the inner realm of, okay, is this challenge being brought to me? I can handle this. And what's on the other side of this? So if I can grit through this and make these, disciplined for the purpose and the honor of my future self and my soul's highest embodiment, if I discipline right now and I have short-term sacrifice for long-term sustainability, then the merit of that is profoundly rich with anything. So if we look at what we can we endure this goal, and truly the illusion, we want to look at what's the illusion and what is real. And so if we go into again those deeper parts of planting those seeds to honor that security, to honor that love, to honor that financial aspect of ourself, our relationship with finances, our relationship with abundance, our relationship with prosperity. And again, there are some people who don't need a lot and they're happy that way. There's some people that need a lot and they're happy that way. So in no way am I addressing anyone being wrong or not. I'm just saying this is where for each to own, for each person that, individually, what is it that's really meaningful for you? And there's no wrong or right answer, but the only thing that is right is what's right for you. And some people, when I ask that question, some people don't know. They thought they were in the illusion. They thought that they were in the hive mind, that, oh, I thought I wanted this because everyone else wants that, right? And so, in the hive mind mentality or in the herd mentality, we think that, oh, just because, Sally, Juan, Javier, Judy, Melissa, Jeff, everyone, okay, they want that, so I should want that. And then you feel like you're the black sheep if you're like, no, I actually want this instead. I don't want what all of them have. I want this. But to each your own, because what serves you, but it's right for you as long as it feels as if your energy feels stable going after that goal, going after that dream. And some people realize later, like, wait a second. I was going after the dream that perhaps I was modeled by my parents to go after. I never got a chance to be my own man. I never had the opportunity to be my own man, my own woman. I was living their dream for them, you know? So we have a lot of that in the world. And so there's unhappiness there when it's not your own dream and you're pushed to do something that perhaps you thought would make someone else happy. That you would please them, placate them, but then at the end of the day, yeah, maybe you're successful, but it's not your passion. And then thereby you don't feel super successful. You feel like, okay, well, on paper, I'm successful. In the eyes of my parents or my spouse or my family, I'm successful, but I'm not feeling successful. And that's quite common. That's actually more common than all of us realize, unless you deal and you hear people every day discuss these things. And so it's a common thing, and there's this shame with that. So if there's anyone out there who experiences that, try not to shame yourself. You're doing what you thought you should in that moment, in a cultural way, in a family way, in an honor to family, an honor to culture, honor to spouse, honor to children, whatever it was that you had to do in order to follow that path, but now you realize that that path isn't for you, but it did generate you, a level and a degree of success in which you might be feeling imposter syndrome right now, maybe, but be gentle with yourself because typically what happens is there's a breakaway point, and that when you're like, wait a second, I am this renowned surgeon, but my true passion is. I want to become a fly fisherman, let's just pretend, right? Fictitiously. Or I want to go create puzzle pieces. And that's my passion. But you look at that was part of your contract. So whatever that you did that was not part of your true inner passion, your soul contract found its way in a certain order to do that, but also to set yourself up for later to where perhaps you want to teach yoga. Maybe you're a heart surgeon and you're just like, I have saved enough lives. And now I think I would like to retire from that, but I would really love to just teach yoga, or I would love to become, part of the church, or I want to go lead retreats, or I want to go climb Mount Kilimanjaro and then I want to lead retreats, whatever it is, or you want to create, art, anything that is there. But be kind to yourself too, because oftentimes there's the reverse. There's always someone who never got to pursue what they wanted to do. And then they have a life deferred in one way where they should be so happy, but there's a part of them that is unsettled. So this is a good time to like look at, and not merely like, let's manifest, let's pray, but let's look deeper at what deserves a permanence in your life right now. What deserves the permanence in your life right now? So again, we can emphasize on, redefining your values, redefining your inner core values, perhaps simplifying your life in many ways. Sometimes it's lurking at the external riffraff that you don't need to deal with. You go back into listening to the still small voice within that says, what redefines your success? Your personal success in your spiritual life, the inner emotional life, if it's your health, if it's your goals, if it's, goals with your health, your body, stamina, resiliency, discipline. So this is a really good time also to talk about the nervous system again. If we look at Taurus, Taurus is deeply known for, let's say stomach sensitivity, anxiety, nervousness, but that's why the stability is so important because if we have some regulation in place, and we have stability, we have security, we have some self-worth there, then the proclivity towards anxiety is far reduced in advance in a proactive way. So Taurus is always deeply connected to the rhythm, of the heart, the rhythm of the spirit, the rhythm of the world, counter-regulation to that rhythm, to the external stimuli. And also, if we look at, the parasympathetic nervous system, we see like the overthinking, in the, ruminating. And sometimes when we say, wait, I'm ruminating, we go into what would be actually a better use of my energy right now. And it could be inner reflection in a deeper way than rumination is constricting. And reflecting and contemplation is more in the expansiveness. So rumination, even though it's a necessary part of the functionality of the wiring of the brain, but it's also at times can be exhausting, right? So sometimes people say, well, my mind is literally running a marathon and it's in deep rumination and I'm so mentally exhausted, it feels like I actually ran a physical marathon. And even if I did run a physical marathon, I would recover much sooner and I wouldn't be so tired, but I'm more so tired in the mind. And so this is where that sensory safety, that's where the consistency, the pacing, the rhythm, it's like where calming down to the best of your ability. Your flight mode, your fight mode, your freeze mode, your fawn mode, and going into that survival mechanism, and you go into, okay, this is a time for prayer, this is the time for meditation. And suddenly, if you feel like you're craving, some hermetization, you want to go out into nature, you want to take a hike, you want to go camping. You want to go gardening. You want to maybe reorganize the house. You want to sit in silence. You want to just kind of recollect yourself, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something that's meaningful with that because in the restoration, learning to trust the restoration of the self, learning to also trust beyond the clouded areas. Because oftentimes, if we stop to think about how, if we're seeking restoration, right? We're seeking some peace, we're seeking some joy, we're seeking some harmony. We want to be in that homeostasis. We want to be in that moment of calm, coming out of the dysregulation. Because in a dysregulated nervous system, it's hard to hear the intuition. In a dysregulated nervous system, it's very difficult to hear the inner insight, the still small voice of God within you, the voice of the universe within you, the voice of Creator within you and upon you. So sometimes, especially right now under this new moon, it's very helpful to know and to grasp that in this field around yourself, that if you can slow the field down just enough, you can essentially let your soul land back in your body. So it's like a re-inhabitation. So it's allowing another, inhabiting the self and finding a new home for the anxiety, finding a new home for another piece of the garden, but also finding a new home for the self, cleaning up the interior for your soul to land in a way that you have a reunion, so like a phoenix, so like that rebirth in the self, right? So, and another thing too is that in if we always look at the light part, we look at the sun, we look at the inner, we look at the shadow, we look at so in the parts where we feel stubborn, right? The parts where we're feeling a bit stagnant, or we have a severe attachment or even a codependence to something. And some of us can have, addiction to comfort, or we're hesitant or resistant to change, or there's a fear-based mindset of taking any risk, and sometimes there's this avoidant coping of where we're perhaps emotionally avoidant through a routine in which we create distractions around us, or even a self-defeating principle in which we use it as a tool to prevent us from seeking and receiving that prayer answered, or seeking that manifestation that we really want, but there's a part of us that's afraid to receive. So again, back to self-worth of receiving. So through the new moon, there's revelation, and a revealing of, okay, what are we going to plant now so we can see it in the future? And if we look at, again, is the security part of, is it bringing up as trigger point for the scarcity, right? A limiting belief, scarcity of thought, scarcity imprint of self-worth, self-love, self-security, finances, health, love, about all of it. So we look at the trigger points of, are we clinging to familiarity? Are we clinging to what we know, the devil we know, the devil in those details? Are we our own advocate for our self-limiting, where, oh, we make up excuses like, oh, but yeah, I can't do that because I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do that. But what about those other days of the week? What about those other hours of the week that are free? Well, no, I can't. I mean, you see, that's the common that we all go through, or we can experience and observe and witness with a beloved person that we love and care about. And so this is where the fear can masquerade. And the fear masquerades as that, like a logic or a practicality. So we have to be really cautious of, like, where are the points of where we're clinging to a self-limiting belief that feels comfortable, and it becomes a secondary attribute to like a link or a line, and that becomes a line of causation to where we prohibit ourselves from actually self-actualizing more. So we really have to be mindful, especially right now, like, where is the fear masquerading, and how are we looking at it under the scope of where it's convenient for us, under that practicality, that logistic place. So if we can just kind of be gentle with ourselves, and really just, even for a fraction, even if it's like a 5% increase, that's progress. Every increase, every percentage. And if you regress, as long as you get back up. So if you fall 7 times and you get back up 8, that's is also a measure to relate to, because we're going to fall in life. Yes, we're all going to fall, and Jesus fell carrying the cross for us many times. But we look at that strength, and we look at our inner salvation, we look at our inner highlight, and we look at where we're launching today, where we want to land tomorrow, and exponentially. And so we're looking at that redefining element of that stability, where we're not frozen by fear. We're not frozen in place by stagnation. And we're not frozen by, an over attachment to something, or hesitancy, resistance to change, or where we're just fearful of risk, or, if we have that emotional avoidance that I was referring to. So we look at the places again of expansion. And so when we really hear the words that, yes, you deserve nourishment, you deserve beauty, you deserve peace, you deserve health, you deserve reciprocity, you deserve rest, abundance, safety, stability. When you hear those key words, what comes up for you, right? Sometimes there's perhaps a trigger, and in the trigger, profound reflections can come through again with the self-worth, finances, receiving, maybe your boundaries, maybe your own self-limiting boundaries with yourself, or in your what you back to Napoleon Hill, like, you You are what you think, or you think what you think of, you become, and thoughts become things, right? So that is the actual truth, because if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, then you can't. But if you're aware right now that, wow, I thought I couldn't do that, but I'm actually feeling a bit inspired. I'm feeling a little lifted where perhaps, yes, I can. Perhaps, yes, I can. And even if it's like you can't do it in this exact moment right now, but the thought of transition of, yes, I can. And so, yes, I can. And in that realm of, yes, I can, you're speaking that into existence, a self-belief. A self-belief pattern, and you're in that consistent pace of belief, I can, I can, I can. And eventually you go into the exponential, the next sequence of I will, I will, I will, and then I want to, I can, I am, and therefore you arrive to I am presently doing it right now. And then you become. So, in that metamorphosis, recognize that all of you, anyone who at least has one inkling of desire to improve or to receive, it all just starts with reaching out that, yes, I can. And so, in closing for today's show, just think about some key points of your self-worth. And your relationship with what helps you to feel secure in this world, the emotional and the physical, the material, and how all that applies. And look at where you'd like to plant the seeds under this new moon. Look at what type of prayerful application, manifestation, meditation, where would you like to start or pick up from where you left off before, or even in the continuity of where you were today, this morning, this evening, wherever you may be in the world. So these are very beautiful, important attributes that are all of the beauty of this world, the beauty of this realm. And in a world that we are aware that has darkness, there's also the light and the beautification that we can bring that beauty. We can be a saint in this world and spread the beauty from within outwardly into the world and into the kingdom for all. And so I hope you all have a most beautiful weekend and happy Taurus New Moon and happy blessings and bright blessings always. Thank you for joining me today. And I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. This has been your host, Ray Trujillo of the Beyond Earth Show, and have a beautiful, prayerful weekend and 2 weeks ahead. Thanks again. Bye.